Well, here your education as an activist leads to 1980. And what does 1980 mean to you?
Well, 1980 is the year of Reagan. I remember campaigning with Don Nichols running for Senate and Reagan running for president, and I ran for the legislature. And working for the Equal Rights Amendment, I had become close to my own representative, who was Republican. That was Paul Brunton, Representative Paul Brunton, and he had told me when he was not going to run for re-election, he said, "Hey, you ought to run for my seat," which I took as a joke. And then little by little, I began thinking about, you know, I really should do this. And I remember Finis Smith saying, "It's better to work on an issue from here where the door locks from the inside than coming at us from Tulsa. Why don't you just try and get yourself elected?" So I didn't alone, but thanks to a lot of friends, we did win the seat.
And your opponent was?
Jerry Leisinger was his name.
What was the district number?
District 70 at the time.
Name some of those people that were on your team.
I had a lot of the people I'd worked on the Equal Rights Amendment with. Katie Westby, Mary Athens, Norm Eagleton, Patty Eaton, and Mary Cherry, a lot of the people I'd worked in the League of Women Voters with. John Ross gave me my first fundraiser in North Tulsa.
Don Ross.
We had Mabel Rice. She was a great friend of Katie Westby's. In fact, Katie had introduced me to her when she did the Black Arts Festival for the North Side. Mabel's still alive, and she was just a fantastic help. And she also worked in the campaigns of Maxine Horner and Don Ross when they subsequently ran for the legislature.
Roger Randall, would he have been?
Roger was the prime motivator. He originally talked to me about running. He was in the Senate holding the Senate seat. Sorry, I forgot to mention Senate District 33. We met over at Gene Pace's house in their kitchen, in Fran and Gene's kitchen. I had a cabinet that I would call the Brain Trust. Roger Randall, Mandel Matheson, Gene Pace, and Darvin L. Brown. He was attorney for the city for a good while. Brownie, we called him. He was my guru. I don't think he ever said a sentence without it being wry. Every word out of his mouth was wry. He is probably the person with the best sense of humor I've ever known.
Well, you had quite a cabinet then.
Yeah, it was incredible. And then we ended up, my back went out on me. I think I was so stressed over the thought of running. You know, it's funny, men, when you ask them to run, they say, "Oh, sure, good idea. Yeah, I'll do it." Well, it took me months. And I remember even having this back that went out on me. And my doctor put me in the hospital and said, "We shouldn't do an operation. We should do traction." So we tried that for all these days. And that's what we ended up doing. And my back surgeon ended up saving my back, Norman Dunnitz. I always thought it was such a noble thing to do. At home, I moved downstairs so I didn't have to climb stairs. We had the first meeting earlier in Gene Pace's kitchen. We started meeting in my dining room where I had my bed.
So the campaign gets kicked off and you can't really participate.
I can't knock doors at the time, but I'll be darned if I didn't get better pretty quickly just by being still.
This was not then about how much money you could raise, but how many friends you could have.
Really, totally. And really, people didn't know me from anyone, with the small exception of people who lived right in my neighborhood. They knew who I was, but nobody of these thousands of people knew who I was, with 30,000 people to a house district in those days. And they just talked about me. Friends talked about me and wrote postcards and made phone calls and knocked on doors and vouched for me that I was a hard worker and that I would push to get something done, especially for education. I believe, really, that the greatest thing wrong with Oklahoma has to do with our culture, and that it's a low sense of possibility, that we think we really can't be any better. And it would cost money anyway, so we sure don't want to invest in ourselves.
You were sold as a supporter of education. Wasn't that going to be your mantra when you would be elected?
That was my issue
right.
Strengthening education.
Right.
Not just being for it, but making some progress and making it more effective.
And so this district, is that balanced 50-50, Republican-Democrat?
Well, in those days, it was called a Republican district when it turned 40% Republican. This district had always been Republican, whatever the registration was. But they even called some Democrat districts Republican districts. So certainly this one, and then House District 71, which is the next district over, which a Democrat has just won in a special election. Mm-hmm. Totally. I mean, that is a Republican district, and so is this.
So here you were coming along as a Democrat. Was that against you? I mean, it was tough then, probably.
Oh, yeah. It was tough as a Democrat. But I think other people vouching for me is what transcended the limitation of
them. Right. So despite the fact we'll hold our nose, she's a Democrat. She's a strong
right.
proponent of education.
Yeah, because some people don't care about Democrat, Republican. They
right.
care about getting something done.
Right. And so you
getting
won.
Things improved.
You won that election. Was that by a big margin, do you recall?
It was probably pretty big. I didn't realize at the time, but they called it a landslide, and I don't remember what it was.
So in 1980, females were making a mark.
Guess what? When I was elected in 1980 to the Oklahoma House of Representatives, there were five women who represented Tulsa County alone.
Let's name them.
Twyla Mason Gray, Helen Arnold, Aline Baker, Joan Hastings, and I were the five.
And yeah. then on top of that, Norma Eagleton is the Corporation Commissioner.
Right. First elected woman to statewide office
right.
in Oklahoma.
The men had to be nervous that the women were taking over.
I don't think so. There were only five of us.
But that was still notable. I mean, that had never happened
incredible.
Before.
Compared to today, never happened before and never happened again.
When you then worked inside the building where the doors can be locked, as yeah. you referred to earlier, what was your committee assignment?
I first was put on the education committee, which was the important one to me. And I was even given a subcommittee to chair. Amazingly enough for freshmen, and that was the Committee on Quality and Standards. Steve Lewis always used to kid me because I would talk about quality. He said, quality, excellence, what is that? What are you talking about? What does that mean? Before we left the legislature, he knew because he was the author of 1017, Education Reform Bill, that had the money to invest in the improvements, education attached to it. But that was in 1990, 10 years later.
Let's talk about a couple of issues here that you were involved in, and then we should point out, how many years did you serve as our elected official from District 70?
For 8 years, and then in 1988 I ran for the Senate because Roger Randall left to become mayor of Tulsa.
So then you served a total of how many years?
24 years.
And that's a record.
That did.
First female to serve 24 years. And something that will never be broken again.
Yes, that is a record.
As long as we have
term limits.
Little did you know in 1980 when you started that campaign it would last that long.
Little did I know.